Amen. Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. Amen. Everybody have it? Say amen.
Praise God.
We're going to have a physical Bible, amen, or an app. We're going to have it up on the screen for you, amen. Praise God. It says this: the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make in the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Down to verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Amen. We're going to blast the shofar today. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word this morning. Amen. Come on and bless him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Bless him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And if the Lord will allow me today, I want to minister on this thought: when the real test begins. Amen? When the real test begins. Look at your neighbor and repeat that. When the real test begins. Amen? I've been revisiting, amen, and re-examining Genesis chapter 6 for the past month and a half. Amen? Been looking, amen, a little bit deeper into things that are within there. Amen? To get a better picture of who God is, amen, to get a better understanding of God as my creator, amen. And the story of the flood in Genesis chapter 6 is very common. It's one of the common things we see, amen, if you grew up in Sunday school or VBS. It's one of those common themes, amen, that is taught on and spoke on, or, amen, used along with Daniel, amen, in the lion's den, and the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, that kind of thing. So it's very common. It's a very common story. And we understand that nearly every religion and mythology across different cultures has a version of the Great Flood. Now, the narratives vary in characters, and the narratives, amen, varies in the plot and even in the meaning, amen, but the common theme is divine retribution, amen, so you can go way back, amen, and you can look at a lot of ancient cultures and religions and even mythology, amen, and you will see the story of the flood, amen, but things are different, hallelujah, amen. That's what makes, amen, our faith, amen, in God different than the rest. But we believe the narrative given in the Bible, amen. We believe that this narrative is the closest thing to what truly was, amen. And what did Jesus say in the book of Matthew chapter 24? He said, these times that we are living now shall be as it was when? In the days of Noah. Amen. And so I read to you, praise God, the scriptures and the narrative, amen, about the ark. And I think the ark narrative is very interesting. Amen. Because God's instructions for Noah were very specific. Now, we understand that the earth was filled with violence, and we can talk about what we can surmise and what we can examine that the result of that violence was, but that's not what we're going to talk about today, amen. But we know that God said that this must come to an end, and so there was going to be a great flood. There was going to be, amen, a time of the water was going to be released in the, from the heavens and from the earth, amen. This was something, amen, that the people had never heard before and was never, amen, accustomed to, but God told Noah, as we read to you, that it was going to flood, amen. But the narrative that God told him, he said, you build this ark, and I will save your family, you, your wife, your children, amen, and their spouses. He said, I will save them, amen. But this was very interesting as God gave him specific instructions, amen, about building the ark. But yet Noah had little control once the flood started, amen. So God gave him the measurements. God gave him the material list. God told him what the room should be, the decks, the opening, and the door. God gave him all of these specific instructions. And he did it all in careful and accurate detail so that nothing would fail. Amen. But I find it interesting that something wasn't listed in this listing of, amen, the materials, amen, all of the rooms and the features of the ark. There was no steering mechanism listed in this list. There was no rudder. There was no sail. Amen. Noah was told how to build the ark, but he was never shown as the one who would guide it. Amen. He was given all of these fine details and specific instructions on what it should look like. And we know that 120 years Noah worked and built this ark, and he used the materials that God had specifically told him. Amen. But there was no steering mechanism. Amen. He was never shown, amen, that he was going to be the one to guide it. See, the ark was not a vehicle to be controlled by human skill or navigation. It was a vessel of divine preservation. Look at your neighbor and say, it was a vessel. Amen. Noah had an important role, but that role was limited. Hallelujah. He had to obey, build, and enter. That's what God told him to do. He said, if you will obey me, you build it and enter. Those were the things that Noah was responsible for. But Noah couldn't chart the course. Noah couldn't command the waters. He could not generate, amen, or guarantee the outcome by his own power or ability. Amen. And Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16 says this, amen, that God shut him inside. God shut him inside. This tells us that Noah's safety inside the ark was finally not in his own hands. It wasn't Noah, amen, that closed the door. It was God that closed the door and shut him inside. I'm thankful for every time that God has closed the door on my life. Are you hearing me this morning? I want you to stay with me as I attempt to just lay a foundation here. Amen. Noah's safety inside of the ark, amen, was finally not in his own hands. It was in God's hands alone. Amen. We know the flood was not a natural event. This was not, amen, Mother Nature, as so many people call it. Amen. It was not an act of nature. So Noah could not have learned how to manage it. I need you to understand that. See, that's part of the problem with us and our life and the things that we navigate through life. We've learned to navigate through through certain situations and circumstances. And because of that, we like to have control on how we get through them. Come on, somebody, help me in this place. But we've got to get to the place where asking God what He thinks is common in our lives. We've got to get to the point to where, amen, hearing the voice of God, amen, simple and straightforward, amen, telling us what to do, what not to do, or how to respond becomes more of a common thing in our walk. See, we make hearing God's voice so mystical and something so out of reach because we think we've got to be at some spiritual ascension, at some certain level in order to hear God. People say, well, God don't speak to me like that. I beg to differ with you. I believe God is always speaking. It's just we don't hear Him. And why don't we hear Him? Because we're not listening. Why don't we listen? Because we're not expecting Him to speak to us. Come on, somebody, help me. You come here on Sunday expecting God to speak to Pastor, amen, with a message that He better bring it, right? Hallelujah. Amen. We got that confirmation already. You come here expecting that I have heard from God. But what if, just what if, I come and I hear from God, and the message that I hear is something that God has already spoken to you prior to the message. Imagine how your faith would be encouraged and lifted. Imagine how much deeper your faith would become rooted in the character of God, not just in general, but His walk and His presence in your life. I believe in these last hours that we will remain here on this earth, we've got to get to that place where hearing from God becomes more common than not. Somebody help me in this place. We become, amen, dependent, amen, spoiled on those that we feel like, amen, are in the position to hear from God, to let us know what God has to say. I know the Word speaks to us, but I'm talking about even in the simple things of life. God, what do you have to say about this? What is it, God, that you have to say about this particular situation? And I'm talking about even on the spur of a moment. I don't know why I'm bringing this out today, but I'm talking about even, amen, when you're on your job and you're working and something rises up and you have, amen, the opportunity to say, God, what are you trying to say to me here? And you can listen and hear what He is saying above everything else around you. This is why the enemy desires to keep you and I distracted. This is why he desires to pull us away from the truth. This is why he whispers things, amen, into our mind. Hallelujah, that will get us to focus on things that have no weight or no value. And then we got the intellectual side of our brain going full force. And we shut down that practical side that just says, you know what? I don't understand it. It don't make sense. But God is still faithful. Come on, somebody, hear me in this place. So Noah had not learned to manage a flood. It was an act of divine judgment and divine sovereignty. Why did the waters rise? Because God said they would. Why did the waters prevail? Because God allowed them to. Why did the ark float despite the depth of the waters? Because God sustained it. Come on, are you hearing me? When the time came for the waters to recede, Noah didn't figure out the right way to move forward. He had nothing to go on. He didn't figure out the right way to go forward. Genesis 8:1 says this, God remembered Noah. We preached about that, amen, about remembering a few weeks ago. God remembered Noah. That simply means God acted in faithfulness to his word with Noah. Amen. He remembered him. It wasn't that he forgot him. Amen. Noah's down there floating around in the water. I got busy and forgot about Noah being down there. He ain't like us. Amen. Come on. But hallelujah, when the time was right, God was faithful to his promise to Noah. If you obey me and build the ark, all you got to do is build it and enter into it. Build it and enter into it. Build and enter. Build and enter. And if you will do what I'm asking you, I will rescue you and save you and your family from the flood waters. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. This is how Noah, amen, didn't have to figure out what to do next. Come on. You see, God acted in faithfulness to Noah. Hebrews 11 tells us that Noah is an example of faithful obedience. He is an example of faithful obedience. We've been studying and teaching on faith in our Thursday night Bible study. Hallelujah. Amen. And we talked about how the 12 spies, when they went and they were going to go spy the promised land, God had already promised the land to them. He had already told them it was there. But when they got there, when they went, they saw the giants, right? They saw the giants in the land. And 10 out of the 12, amen, saw the giants and said, nope, we can't. The land is what God says it is. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, and there is an abundance of grapes, so many grapes and clusters that, amen, they can't even be managed. It really is a land of abundance, but there's giants in the land. And so they saw those giants as an opposition to, amen, taking the promise. But Joshua and Caleb, amen, said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? See, it wasn't hard to go spy the land. The obedient part wasn't the hard part. It wasn't hard to say, okay, yeah, let's just go check it out. God's done said it's ours and what it is. Let's just go see it. I want to have first peek at it. I want to see what it's going to be like and what it's going to look like. That wasn't the hard part. The hard part, amen, was the test. Hallelujah, could you overcome, amen, what's in the way in order to receive the promise? Joshua and Caleb said, what are you talking about? God's already said it's ours. Amen. But they said, but we're like grasshoppers in the presence of those giants. Hallelujah. Joshua and Caleb said, those giants are nothing because they are nothing compared to how big our God is. So the obedient part, amen, is not difficult. It's when you get there and you see what it might take in order to overcome and to truly walk in the truth and the promise that becomes the real test. I'm sure that building the ark, amen, wasn't, amen, easy. But after a few years, come on, 120 years, after a few years, Noah's like, hallelujah. All he had to do, amen, was continue to get the material. And I would imagine that his mind and his focus was on making sure that he found plenty of gopher wood and that he got the pitch and that he had all the supplies that he needed. The Bible doesn't really tell us that anybody said a whole lot against him. Amen. But you know people are people, right? Hallelujah. And they get on your nerves. Amen. Don't they? Come on. We get on each other's nerves. Humanity is annoying. Hallelujah. The flesh, amen, it is challenging. And I'm sure they said things to Noah, amen, but after, amen, 50 years, Noah's like, I got this. This is just part of my life. And he just kept building and building until the day came that he was done. So that really wasn't the hard part. I believe that the difficulty came after he entered into the ark. That was the real test. That was when the real challenge began. When hearing the door close behind you and not knowing what was going to happen on the outside. Not knowing what it was going to be like on the inside. You see, even though that Hebrews 11 tells us that Noah was an example of that faithful obedience, but his obedience didn't put him as champion over the situation. Hallelujah. It didn't make him the champion. Somebody help me in this place. The ark was built according to God's word. And then he entered it by faith. It was guided by a power outside of Noah. What does this say to us today? I believe it says that obedience matters, but overall control belongs to God. That's where the real test begins. That's when faith is really put to the test. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, do you hear me? Obedience matters, amen. It matters, amen, if we are obedient. Amen, it matters, but overall control belongs to God. How often do we want God's instructions so that we can feel in control? How often do we want God to tell us what we need to do and how we need to do it so that we can feel in control of the situation? Don't sit there and look at me like you ain't in that category, because I believe 99.9% of us, hallelujah, there will be a small percentage, amen, that doesn't like to feel in control. We like to think that we have, amen, control of what's going on, the circumstances, the situation, or at least where it's going. Amen. We want the blueprint and the wheel. Noah had the blueprint, but there was no talk of a wheel. There was no talk of a steering device. No talk of, amen. You see, God could have gave Noah, could have put a steering device on that ark, and he could have spoke to Noah, amen, and said, turn this way, turn that way. Amen. Noah had nothing to go on. Noah had no learned experience. There was no past experience of dealing with floodwaters. Amen. There was no past experience with building a big boat, a big vessel, if you will. There was nothing to go on other than a word from God. And being obedient to that word was key. But once God shut the door, amen, Noah is given responsibility, but he's not given control. See, God calls him to trust and not to steer the outcome, which ultimately becomes history. See, God did not give Noah, amen, the responsibility of steering history. Amen. This is history to us now. Praise God. And God did not. God said there's going to be thousands and thousands and millions of people who are going to know of this story. And so I cannot let Noah have anything to do with the outcome. It's all on me. It's all in my sovereign plan. I'm so thankful today that God is sovereign over all. That God is sovereign over my life today. I've been thinking, I said this a little bit, I think, in Bible study. Amen. But I was thinking, amen, about time and how I've been thinking about how that time time where God is. We understand that there's no such thing as time where He is. It's eternal. Amen. God created time for us in a linear fashion. Amen. So that we can file away all of the stuff, right? That we can make files and keep track, amen, of things here on this earth. Hallelujah. But there's no time where God is. It's cyclical. That's why we have seasons. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Amen. It all goes in cycles. And I've been thinking about, again, told you Genesis 6 and all about, amen, back in the beginning. Amen. And God was there. Right? So if God has no time, that means thousands of years ago, and according to Scripture, before I was created in my mother's womb, before I was ever conceived, He knew me. I've been thinking about that a little bit deeper, amen, here in this last week. He knew me before I was conceived in my mother's womb. And so that means if there's no time where God is, amen, that thousands of years ago, amen, God knew me, amen, before I was conceived and created in my mother's womb. So thousands of years ago, during the time of Noah, God was already here where I'm at today. Somehow, some way, He was here where I am on March 15th, 2026. And so He knew me before I was conceived. So He laid out a destiny for my life thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. I believe this more now than ever before. But when His will ordained Henry and Louise Leslie to come together, amen, when the doctor said, it's impossible for you to ever, amen, give birth to another child. You don't even have all that's necessary to procreate. But God said, I've got a destiny. And He willed that when they came together, amen, and I, the moment that I was conceived in my mother's womb, that destiny began to be released. And as that destiny was released, hallelujah, long before, amen, I was dedicated by my pastor and given back to God, God said, He's already mine. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. And so every day, amen, that I exist, God has already been there at some point in time, way before I was ever conceived in my mother's womb. So why am I going to worry about today and tomorrow? Why am I going to let yesterday affect my present? Because thousands of years ago, God was already where I'm at. I need somebody to help me. I ain't talking about Jesus going before me. I'm talking about the divine creator was already where you are before you were ever created in your mother's womb. That gives me hope. Why should I be anxious? Why should I worry? Why should I fret? Why should I doubt His will and plan for my life? He is God, and He is my Creator. That has shifted my perspective. That solidifies even more. I am with you.
Amen.
He was with me before my parents were ever created.
That's what.
Some of you like, sorry. You can take it, pray about it, and apply it to your life or leave it. But as for me and this house, I'm going to accept it and believe it because he's my divine creator. In him there is no time. It is only eternal. Are you hearing me? So that even makes this stuff down here even less valuable. That makes all of this, amen, that we encounter here on this earth even less weighty. Because if he's already been here, that means he knew it before it happened. And he said, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. This is how Jesus could say, because Jesus, despite what you believe, Jesus was present in creation. This is why Jesus could say that where you go, I go before you. Because he's already been there. He is all God. Somebody help me. He's not just in my tomorrow based on today's time. He was in my tomorrow thousands of years ago.
Come on. Amen.
And I'm telling you, if you can't grasp that he is your creator, he cannot be God to you. And if he's not God to you, he cannot be your father. And if he's not your father, you cannot have a healthy, right relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. Ooh, somebody help me. I feel resistance from that this morning. But that stuff doesn't bother me. It just prods me on. And it's not because of you. It's because the enemy doesn't want you to have the revelation and that freedom that's in that revelation, because he knows it'll keep you down. Because see, if you under my God help me, if you can grasp that God was where you are today thousands of years ago, Lord, it could have even been millions of years ago. Now y'all really messed up, right? Oh, come on, somebody, everything that old. How do we know? Praise God. But anyhow, however many, it was a long, long time ago. So when he was working on Noah, he already had my destiny planned out. He'd already been in 1964 on December the 18th. He was already there and watched that mother that was not supposed to be able to have another child birth that 9-pound, 14-ounce, 23-inch long, big, fat baby boy that had no idea the future that God had for that baby. But as for me and my house, 61 years later, we will serve the Lord. Destiny already set the call and everything on my life. He had there. And when I become transformed and this body becomes glorified and returns to its eternal state. Come on. The original design that God had for humanity. When I get there and I become eternal, all of the time down here is going to
disappear. Amen.
This is why it says in the book of Revelation that Jesus will say, time will now be no more.
Amen.
He set up time for us to keep track and to keep record. And we still forget. Right? But it will all not matter when we get into that eternal place. So we want the blueprint and the real. But in Noah's story, God gives a blueprint without a wheel. And so he gave Noah responsibility, but not control. Look at somebody and say, let it go.
Let it go.
I could have prophesied, but I didn't. But it came to pass. I had a coworker complain because her birthday is this week and it's going to be cold. I'm turning 50, and I don't want it to be cold. I said, well, in the concept of frozen, let it go. That's frankly not what I'm here talking about. She was like, I know what, let it go. You'll be all right. If you make it to 51, maybe it'll be sunny and warm. Just be thankful that you're 50. Blueprint, and we want the wheel. See, God calls Noah ultimately to trust, not to steer the outcome, which ultimately becomes that history. Faith isn't managing the outcome. And there's some of you sitting here today that like to be in control of the situation. You like to have your hands on the wheel. But faith hears the voice of God and then it obeys. But it leaves the final direction in God's hands. I don't know who I'm talking to today. And it's the same with our salvation in Jesus Christ. Salvation is never secured by human efforts. Because Noah and his family's preservation was by God's hand only. Our salvation and our victory doesn't rest on our ability to steer the outcome to safety. Our salvation, our deliverance, doesn't rest on our ability to steer ourselves to safety. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Are you hearing that? But our salvation rests solely on the work of Christ. See, we respond in faith. We enter by trust. We walk in obedience, but the security of the salvation belongs to the Lord. So we enter by faith, we walk in obedience, but the security of our salvation belongs in the Lord. So why are we constantly working to secure it when it's already done? Look at your neighbor and say, it is finished. Let it go. Don't sing. Let it go. Because it's finished. Somebody can't help yourself, can you? Because you like to be in control. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on. Tell me. Tell me not to sing. Tell me not to sing. Come on, are you hearing me? It's the truth. Funny, but the truth, right? Because we ultimately like to steer the outcome. Now, we want to steer ourselves to victory, right? But we want to have our hands on the wheel. It's pulling back, amen, and watching the wheel go like this and like that and move all around and not being able to touch it, amen. Have you ever tried to teach somebody to drive?
Oh, yeah.
I have. I don't do well. Because you're like, just let me have the wheel. first time I got in the car with Matt, decided I was gonna teach him to drive. If it killed me, and it almost did. It was my first and only time. We're getting off the exit to 270. I said, now, you know, when you've driven on the freeway before, he emerged. He said, I've never driven on the freeway. I'm like, what? So I went. Started driving from the passenger side. And come on, are you with me? And when God says, trust me, and we're seeing everything, we're like, I've never been this way before. I've never driven like this before. We want to put our hands on the wheel, but God's saying, trust me. All I asked you to do was to enter and obey. Now you got to trust me now that you're here. Are you hearing me? Amen. Because we want to put our hands on the wheel. Are you understanding me? God provided Noah's means of rescue. And if he did it for Noah, our salvation secures that he will keep us. Our salvation in Christ, the finished work of Jesus, gives us security that God is going to keep us, guide us, lead us, provide for us, be with us, work on our behalf. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Why is it that we cannot let that go? Why is it that we have to have our hands on the wheel? Now we're praying, feeling like we got to pray more. We got to read more. We got to do more to make our salvation more secure. When Jesus said, it is finished, get your hand off the wheel. Just do what I say. Enter in by faith and then trust me on the inside. I need somebody to help me today. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Noah, hallelujah, wasn't in control. God, amen, brings us through judgment into life. And if there is a consequence to pay, I need somebody to help me. She done quoted it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is outside in the world. If part of the trusting means I pay a price for something I did or disobeyed, then judgment will bring us through to life. That's the security of the finished work of Jesus. That's eternal security. Not once you get saved, you're always saved. That eternal security is that he has secured your salvation, and nothing or no one can take it away from you. I need somebody to help me. And so if judgment is part of the process, just know that on the other side of judgment for the covenant child of God is always victory, and it's always life. And he'll preserve you. He'll keep you. He'll secure you. He'll match somebody here. Noah wasn't in control of the ark, and that should bring us comfort. Somebody said, what? You not being in control of the outcome and the details in the process should bring you comfort. Somebody said, what we gonna do if when we close on the property we don't have nowhere to go? It's not my art to steer. It's not my wheel to control. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? It's not up to me. All he said was enter in. Now I gotta trust him, and you and I together have to trust him in the ark. And wherever it leads us, somebody help me. Hallelujah. The finished outcome is going to have greater glory, because the glory of the latter will be greater than the former. I need somebody to hear me today. There's about two of you that half believe. Come on, get your hands off the wheel, put them together, and give God true praise, because he is in control. See, that's That's when the real test begins. The waters were real. The danger of the waters was real. Noah's weakness, his inability to handle the water and the danger, was real. Look at your neighbor and say, God needs you weak.
God needs you weak.
In the process. Get your hands off the wheel. Because the deepest safety of the ark was God's faithfulness. Noah had nothing to go on. He had no testimony of somebody that came before him that survived the flood. He knew nobody. No one had ever built a vessel like this. And he had nothing to go on but God's word. And God spoke to him. Noah was righteous, the Bible says, in his heart. And God favored him for his trust and honor. God only calls us to obey what he says, not to carry the burden of controlling only what he can control. Do you realize what kind of burden it is to take on the outcome? To take on the control of navigating the vessel through the floodwaters? Some of you are doing it. Some of you walked in here today weighed down because you want that control. And I'm not being critical of you. I'm trying to encourage you. You're in the ark. That's all God called you to do, was to obey what he said. Noah's trust and his obedience had to continue while he was in the ark. See, we think, Noah suffered all of this persecution and all of this, and God bless him. But we think, okay, the flood happened, it was over, and bada bing, bada boom, Noah came out. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. God gave the bow and the clouds, and everybody destroyed the all great. But we don't think a whole lot about all the time he spent in the ark and what kind of faith and trust it took to be in the ark. I'm thinking, I know me. See, and I think about the temptation to open the window. I think about, let's just see a little bit of what's going on out there. Right? Think of the temptation to just open the window. That temptation to just peek out the door to see what the circumstances look like. Think about it. Noah built an ark to save him from the flood. He survived the flood, but never seen the flood. He never saw when the waters covered. He never saw. All he saw when it was over is how high the waters took him. Why we got to see all the details of the circumstances? Why we got to stick our nose in the soil?
Come on.
I'll tell you why. Because we think we learn that, we can navigate the next one on our own. Come on, somebody. We're gonna get all these safety. We're gonna make sure that flooding won't take us out again. We're gonna strengthen our windows. We're gonna do. Are you listening? He endured one of the greatest events in human history but never witnessed any of it. Think about that. See, understand, you're better off. Have you ever looked out the window during a storm? But when you're sleeping, it sounds like, amen, a train is coming through your front window, and you're like, oh. Lightning's cracking, the wind is howling, blowing, and you're like, at least I don't. I ain't getting up to look at that. Right? I know some of y'all do. Some of y'all don't even go to bed. But how much better are you to not see the storm than to go through it? Come on, are you hearing me? Noah. So I think about that temptation just to peek out the door just to see a little bit what it looked like. Imagine not knowing where you were going.
Right.
And feel it. All of the emotions. Feeling that. Imagine not knowing where you're going or not knowing how long you're going to be in there. The Bible says he was in there for 150 days and then almost 3 more months as the water started receding. So that's almost 240 days based on our monthly cycles, 30 days, that Noah was in that ark, not able to look outside, dealing with his wife, his son's wives. Come on. You go up on the third deck, but I hang out on the lower deck. Come on. Take yourself up to the third deck. I ain't got time to listen to that mess down here. Come on, think about it. Think about the questions. Think about the conversation. Think about the discussion. Think about the doubt and the fear, the possibility of the not knowing where you were going and not knowing when it was going to end. So then I was thinking about that, and I got to thinking, how did Noah, the Bible says, and then 40 days later, after the waters receded, 40 days later, so there's another 40 days, Noah opened the window. How did he know when to open the window? How did Noah know now's the time to open the window? I believe God spoke to him and told him. Now, what if he would have opened the window 2 days earlier out of impatience, wanting to be in control, not hearing any more water rushing and not hearing any noise, not hearing any sound of birds and animals because it was all on the inside? Are you hearing me? Not hearing all of that and thinking, you know what? It must be okay. But in all of that time in that ark, not knowing where he was going, not knowing when it was going to be over, he still kept his trust in his obedience to the place where he could hear God say, now, Noah, open the window. Come on, open the window. And then he released, amen, the raven, right, to go out the window to see what would happen. And then he had to wait, amen, a little longer. My point is, amen, the test is not building the ark. The test is not even entering in. The real test is once the door has been closed and now God's hand, amen, is the only thing that's controlling the situation. His real test began when God shut him inside. He had to keep trusting so he could hear God's voice tell him to open the window. This is why we got to cast down the strongholds of the enemy. We got to tear down the enemy's defense mechanisms. built on lies. That's what a stronghold is. It's in the mind. It's not something somewhere up here. Now it's here in the mind. And a stronghold is a lie that you have been convinced is truth. And so you operate, you walk, you function, you speak, you think, you do based on that lie, which is from the enemy. Come on. And I think I shared this in Bible study too. I'm sharing a lot from Bible study today, amen. But I think I shared this, I think it was this week, I don't know. But I kind of had an epiphany. That scripture that tells us to tear down the strongholds of the enemy. And it struck me, of the enemy. So if the enemy has strongholds, then so does God. And if the enemy's defense system stronghold is based on a lie, God's is based on truth. So why can't God build strongholds in my mind that'll defeat and destroy the strongholds or the lies of the enemy before they even become strongholds? I've always seen a stronghold as a negative thing, as an evil thing. I don't see it like that anymore. Amen. Everything the enemy does is an imitation of something God has already done or God has the ability to do. So I believe that we can build strongholds of truth in our life, that whenever the enemy comes in, then we filter everything through that truth, and then that's how we respond. Are you hearing me today? Hallelujah. So this is why we got to keep our mind renewed every day with the word. Because listen, the stuff that's hanging out in the atmosphere outside in the world, I'll say it again. Listen, Linda. She had her hand up before I said it. She's like, hallelujah. Unity. Everything operates on a legal system. That's how heaven operates. And that's how darkness operates. Because it copies what's already been done. Despite there's divine counsel. There's all of these things. That's why there's a court in heaven, courtroom in heaven. There's things, I believe, being decided by someone other than God. But anyhow, when you think about that legal system, see out there, the enemy's legal system is not under grace. Our legal system is under grace. So that legal system should not have the authority to overpower this legal system because we're under grace. But my point is they don't have to operate like we do. Somebody hear me. Hallelujah. They have authority and they have a legal system in which they have rights. And that's exactly what's happening and going on. That's why you're feeling all of this stuff. Remember when Daniel, amen, Lord help me, Jesus. Remember when Daniel, why am I going here today? Get me out of here. I'm trying to close. Remember when Daniel, amen, was praying and the Bible says he prayed, amen, and then he fasted for 21 days because he did not hear from God. And then after 21 days, amen, that being, that angelic being came down and he told Daniel, amen, he said, Daniel, I've been trying to get to you with the answer for 21 days. He said, God heard you the first day that you prayed, and he sent the answer immediately. So the answer was not delayed because God waited 21 days to send it, but he said, as I was on my way through the heavens, now I'm adding words and prayer, but as I was on my way through the heavens, I had to go through the territory that was owned and authorized by the Prince of Persia, and he would not let me through to get the answer to you. He said, so had to come and had to withstand the Prince of Persia so I could finish my journey from heaven to earth to bring you the answer. So God didn't wait 21 days, Daniel, to answer you. Just know that God heard you the first day you prayed, and he had the answer ready all the way. But the timing has just been different. So I gotta know that God, if God thousands of years ago was here where I'm at today, I gotta believe that he hears me the first time I pray, and he's got my answer, Sister Lori, immediately. But sometimes the timing gets held back just a little bit. But know that in the end, greater is he that is in us than any prince that rules in the world. Are you hearing me today? I'm trying to bring this to a close. He had to keep trusting so he could hear God's voice for what? Close to 280 days. Think of that. Let's see. 38 months is 240. That's over 8 months. And some of us go through things for 2 days. Come on, I get it. I'm not making light. Look, I'm in the season I'm in now over 2 years. But I've got a hope now that's deeper and greater because of where I'm at. That God has heard me and he's already got my answer.
Yes, amen.
Come on. His eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open to their cries. The very moment Israel began to cry out and groaning, God heard them, and he had their deliverance already mastered in his plan. It just had to be the right time. I hope this is helping somebody today. We got to let God have control and release the burden. Not touch your neighbor and say, release the burden. Release the burden. I feel it in the spirit. I felt it this morning. Some of you are in here are heavy with the burden of trying to navigate the outcome of your circumstances. Trying to make it make sense. Because the math ain't mathing, right? It ain't making sense. But if we can become humble and take our hands off the wheel and begin to surrender our minds to the voice of God and say, God, what would you have me do? What would you have me say? Our faith will grow and become deeper and more rooted in God and not religious theology. Because when the real test begins is after the door is shut. So I'm talking to some, as they get ready to come to the music, I believe I'm talking to some of you today that you're already in the ark and the door has been shut and you're struggling, not knowing where you're going, how long you're going to be in there. You're tempted to open the window, just crack it just the least bit to see what's going on. Because the flesh is nosy. people's business. The flesh is nosy, right? But have you ever thought that if you take your hands off the wheel and you become still long enough, what if God wants to tell you how long it's going to be? What if God wants to tell you where you're going to end up, but you can't hear him because you're so distracted by all of the stuff that is out of your control? Stand with me across this place. I don't know everybody here personally. I know some more personally than I do others for various reasons. But in all of that, I don't know your heart. I don't know your intents, your motives, and all that you're dealing with. But I know one who does. The same one that is guiding my ark knows your heart. So if you're here today and you're lost, and you haven't surrendered your heart to Jesus, why don't you make the choice to do that today? Why don't you surrender to Jesus? Just say yes to his beautiful plan of salvation. But if you're here today and you're struggling building the ark, entering in, it's not been the hard part. It's what's happening while you're inside that you're struggling with. Just as Noah released that dove and it came back with the olive branch, the sign of life, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, I promise you, when it's all over, the seal of the Holy Spirit will be upon you. And that peace that passes all understanding. You may not know how you made it through, but you'll know that you know that you know that it was God that brought you through. This message has pricked your heart today, resonated with you in any way, and you desire